Indeed, the reason we are here is not because of shape, form, or fashion, not because of how good we have been or what we have done. We are here indeed to worship God. It's not about who has the fanciest car, the nicest house. It's not about living into the misery of the world, but living into the times that God will bless and restore, that God will anoint. And so indeed we are here to worship God. Pray with me, please. God, as I come before you and before your people, may you, O God, enter into my mind, my heart, my spirit, my presence, O God, and allow the very words I speak, the very moves I take, be your moves, your voice, O God, the words that come from my mouth. Indeed, O God, I beseech you right now to lower me and you raise up, O God, and to the presence of what you desire to be said, not only for these, your people, but for me, your servant as well. So God, enter in so that we might worship you. Amen. Our message this morning indeed comes from the book of Romans. And our message indeed begins and is a very simple title. Welcome. On this Welcome Sunday. Welcome. So I begin with this story. It's not my story. But I beseech you to listen to this story as it has been placed on my heart to share with each of you this morning. The story goes like this. His name is Bill. He has wild hair and wears a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans, and no shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He is brilliant. He is kind. He's kind of profound and very, very bright. He became a Christian while attending college. Across the street from the campus is a church. They want to develop a ministry to the students, but are not sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decides to go there. He walks in with no shoes, jeans, his holy t-shirt, and his wild hair. The service has already started, so Bill starts down the center aisle looking for a seat. The church on this morning is completely packed, and he cannot find any place to rest. By now, people are really looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one says anything. Bill gets closer and closer to the pulpit when he realizes there are no seats for him. He just squats down right on the carpet. By now, the people are really uptight and the tension in the air is thick. About this time, the minister realizes that from way at the back of the church, have mercy, a deacon is slowly making his way toward Bill in the front. Now, the deacon is in his 80s, has silver gray hair, and is wearing a three-piece suit. He is a godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly. He walks in with a cane. As he starts walking toward this young man, everyone is saying to themselves, well, you can't blame him for what he's going to do. How can you expect a man of his age and of his background to understand some college kid sitting on the floor in the front of the church? It takes a long time for the man to reach this young person in the front. The church is utterly silent except for the clicking of the man's cane as he walked down the center aisle. All eyes are focused on him. You can't even hear anyone breathing. The minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon does what he has to do. When the deacon finally reaches Bill, the church watches as this elderly man, he drops his cane, and then he sits on the floor right next to the young man. With difficulty, he has lowered himself and he's placed himself right next to Bill. And he worships with him so Bill won't be alone. Everyone is choked with emotion. When the minister gains control of one's own emotions, the minister says, "What I'm about to preach, you will never remember. What you have seen, you will never forget. I pray that what you have heard, you will never forget." Because indeed, it is about welcome. This is God's house. This is God's house made for any and all who choose to enter their doors. And God invites all to come into this place that they might experience and know who God is for themselves. They don't have to know the God you know. They don't have to have the life experiences you've had. They don't have to be like you. But they want to experience God in the real, in the truth of who God is for themselves. And the only way that they can experience that is if you and I extend a welcome that is unconditional. That a welcome that is not holding something back. A welcome that says that anyone who comes can receive the grace and the Spirit of the Lord. No matter what they have been through, no matter the struggles and trials they have seen, no matter how they are dressed, have mercy, Jesus. It doesn't matter whether they got shoes on or shoes off. It don't matter if their pants are ripped and torn. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if their hair ain't like mine. Yeah, I know. I see that? That's what I'm talking about. But to extend a welcome that does not have any limitations. And yet, my brothers and sisters, on this Welcome Sunday, we do at times, let's just claim it, we do at times struggle to fully embrace and to welcome the person, not only just the stranger, but also somebody we've been sitting in the pew with for 50 years. Sometimes we struggle to welcome them in. Because we got a little baggage, if you know what I mean. There's been an experience that we've had. There's been a disagreement that we haven't always agreed on the same thing. But we are called in this place to be like this old man who sat in the back of the church and he saw this young man walk in. And when he saw this young man walk in, he did not see a stranger. He did not see someone who was young and unknowing. He did not see somebody who was not dressed like him. He did not see somebody who had their hair done in the way he had his hair done. No, he saw a fellow traveler in the word of God, in the name of God. And when he saw this person, he was willing to let go of who he was and come down and be who Jesus desires him to be. Oh, my friends, we struggle sometimes to be who the Lord calls us to be when it comes to welcome. When I was talking to the group of Apoia ladies on Thursday, we were talking about it's all right when you welcome someone into your house. When someone comes and visits you, Barbara, it's like you know they're leaving. I mean, you know they ain't staying, right? But woe unto them who decides, Barbara, they're going to stay for a week or two. Then it changes. Then it changes. And so we were talking, that's one form of welcome. Where, yeah, you're in here for a little minute, but you're leaving. But what about when the relative moves in because they have troubled times? I remember when I was a kid and we were about 6 years old and our house caught on fire, burnt down, and we had nowhere to go. And where would we go? We would go to my aunt's house, Aunt Loretha. And we would go to Aunt Loretha's house in the middle of the night. The house is still burning. The fire department is still there. And here we are trekking. We've got nothing because the house burnt down. And we walk on and we're knocking on the door. And Aunt Loretha's saying, "Why y'all here?" We're like, "The house is burning." She says, "Come on in." We stayed there for I don't know how long. Probably 3 or 4 months before we found a place. And I remember saying to my mom, I said, Mom, I said, can't we just stay at Aunt Loretta's house? She go, No, we got to go. We got to go. Now, why was it? It was because my mother had a sense of wanting to have her own. It wasn't because they didn't get along or it was all, but there was a sense of, yes, it was time. It was time to go, and we moved. But that's not the type of welcome I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the welcome where someone comes to your house. I'm talking about the welcome of someone coming into God's house. And that welcome is not only for someone who comes for a little while, but it also is a welcome for those who come and stay 50 years, 30 years, 40 years, 5 years, 2 weeks. We are called to welcome them in. In the passage that is before us this morning in Romans, it begins with the word welcome. Why? Because Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, reminding them that they are to welcome everyone. Now, you should know something about the historical perspective. In this particular context, he is writing to the church at Rome, which, by the way, was predominantly Gentiles. They were predominantly Gentiles who were in this church. And he's writing back to the church. In essence, he's telling them, listen, Jeff, he's saying, listen. I know that Christ came and that Christ came and for the Jews. I know that. I got that. And for you Jews who are in the church, who are holding it together with these Gentiles, yes, that is true. You are welcome too. Meaning you 50-year-old members, you're just as welcome as the new one who just came in last week. But he's also saying, look at those who are seeking to find Christ for their lives. Looking at those who are young in the faith. Look at those who are struggling to figure out who God is for their journey. They are also to be welcomed too. You are to welcome one another. This is not about you being a Jew and you being a Gentile. It's about all of us being one in the body of Christ. And therefore, we are to welcome and to love one another as Christ so loved us. I wish I could tell you that the church today really embraced welcome. I really wish I could tell you that the universal church today is not disparaging of those who are different than they are. I wish I could tell you that this story is not still happening, but not in a positive way, but where an individual is coming into the church and they're not finding a place to sit, or they're sitting in the pew. Oh, Lord, they're sitting in your seat. There's a story told of a woman who'd come to visit a church, and she came in and she was looking for a place to sit, and she sat in Barbara's location. And she was sitting in the seat where Barbara would sit, but Barbara wanted her seat, so Barbara went to the back of her, leaned over, and said, "You sitting in my seat." The story goes that when the woman was told that she was sitting in Barbara's seat, that she just got up. And while she might have thought she was going to look for another seat, she was walking out the door. But thank God, somebody like Bill stood up. Bill Cosmo stood up and said, "Come sit with me and my family. Come and be with me." And in so doing, this woman would stay in this church for a mighty long time. She would never leave. Because in that moment, she really understood that she was indeed welcomed. See, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we do not always get it right. So I'm just going to claim it. There are churches today who are saying you are not welcome if you are gay, straight, or trans, or queer. You are not welcome. There are churches that are saying that, and by the way, I want to clarify this, we are still in this society, if you took the nation as a whole, we are still on Sunday morning the most segregated community in the United States. Yes. For many of our churches, it is not okay for a person of color to be in the same sanctuary, even though we're all got color. Just so you know, I read it this morning. Didn't I read it? We all color. But instead, we are still living in a world where there are those who are not welcome. They're not welcome because of their dress. They're not welcome because of their beliefs. They're not welcome because of how they walk. They're not welcome because of how they talk. They're not welcome because of their sexuality or their orientation. That's not what God is asking of us. God is asking us to welcome all into the house of worship. If there's to be any separating, let God do that. That's not your call. It's not my call. Welcome It's a hard job because we also have biases. But our scripture tells us that the same God for the Jews is for the Gentiles. The same God that's for you is also for me. The same God that I served in the black church is the same God that's still here today. The same God that helped me endure the stress and strains of being in an interracial marriage that was at a time in history that was not acceptable. That same God was with me and was with Barbara in those years. That same God welcomed us into God's presence. My friends, that is the call for us. We honor those who have been a part of this house for over 50 years. We honor this house for being a place that is indeed, I believe, especially since I've been here, it has definitely been a place of welcome to any and everyone who comes to our door. And I pray that this day as we sit here, there may be guests who are visiting with us for the first or the second time, that you know that this place invites you to allow God to do what God does with you, in you, through you, for you, and for the broader church community. We welcome you. I welcome you. And I invite you to allow God's Spirit to pour within you, on you, and through you. Because indeed, as Paul reminds me, the Word of God is for both those who have been here a long time, Donna. The word is also for the children who are new coming up and are learning who God is for their life. That same God is for the visitor who comes in because they've been disparaged at another church home and they've come here to find a place of peace and a place of love. This is the same house that is for those who are from Myanmar. It's the same house that is for those who are from Ecuador. It is the same house for those who are from Mexico. It is the same house that is for all of God's children. And so this morning, we celebrate welcoming you into God's house. We celebrate because you and I can't do this alone. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. May God bless you. And may each of you this morning, as you received your flower, know that you are welcomed in God's house. Now, I don't promise you a flower next week, so I'll tell you that right now. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in God, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.